You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on May 14th, 2026. And this week we're talking about a statue that has caused quite an uproar on social media. This particular statue in question is made of gold and depicts President Trump. And many are calling this idolatry, just like the golden calf or the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar set up in Daniel chapter 3. Well, is this a case of idolatry? We're going to discuss that in our episode today, as well as how we should view political leaders. So for links to the story we're talking about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/05-14-26. And now for our discussion this week. Pastor defends golden Trump statue from biblical backlash. From Newsweek, the pastor behind a newly erected 22-foot golden statue of President Donald Trump at one of his Florida golf courses has defended the project following criticism that the homage violates biblical prohibitions against worshiping false gods. John Mark Burns, an American evangelical minister and spiritual advisor to the president, led the unveiling ceremony at Trump National Doral, Miami, joined by dozens of religious figures. He described the statue as a celebration of life and a powerful symbol of resilience, freedom, patriotism, courage, and the will to keep fighting for America. Later in the article, it says, however, the event has drawn backlash from other religious figures who labeled it a breach of the Bible's prohibition against idolatry. I suppose it's not surprising that some would be quick to condemn this. Some are quick to condemn the president and his supporters for nearly anything. But also, it is easy to see some similarities between this and some notable examples of idolatry in the Bible. A couple of those examples are the golden calf and the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. Notice what the Bible says about those. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Aaron said to them, tear off the gold rings which are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. Then all the people tore off the gold rings which are in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf and said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And then we have the example of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up on the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, to you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. So there you have a golden image set up of King Nebuchadnezzar, and people are drawing parallels from that to this image, this statue of gold made to depict President Trump. So should we condemn this? Well, before we answer that, there are a few points I want us to consider. First, what makes an idol an idol? Sharing some similarities between the golden calf or this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar set up does not automatically make something an idol. And there are some significant differences in this case. Number one, this statue of the president, there is no declaration that this is a god or a depiction of God. But that was the case with the golden calf that was made in Exodus chapter 32. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, go down at once, for your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So the golden calf, they were acting like this was actually a depiction of God, the one who brought them out of Egypt, and they were offering sacrifices to it. That wasn't what was happening with this statue of the president. And there was no instruction for anyone to fall down and worship this statue of the president. But there was an instruction for the people to fall down and worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar set up of himself. That at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. If this example of the statue that was made to depict President Trump is an example of idolatry, are we going to have to label every statue that depicts a political leader or a civil ruler as idolatry? Consider this example of a statue depicting George Washington, the first president of the United States, in the Virginia State Capitol. If you're watching this on video, you can see it on the screen. If you are not watching the video but only listening, you can find this online by searching for it. So you have a statue of President George Washington. Is that an idol? I believe most people would say no. So why is the statue of President Trump an idol? Is it because of the material? Well, idols don't have to be made of gold. Many idols are made of wood or stone, and this is specifically talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 28, as it addressed the problem of the people going off and committing idolatry. There you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone. So a statue of someone does not make that thing an idol, even if it's made of gold. But another thing we have to consider as we think about this whole situation is this. How should we view political leaders? Well, number one, we should recognize that they are mere men. We should not deify them and treat them as if they were gods. And this is what the people did when they praised Herod in Acts chapter 12. On an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. The people kept crying out, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Now, on that occasion, God struck him down because he did not give honor to God when the people were praising him. So Herod was punished, but the people were wrong because they were treating Herod as if he were a god. We cannot do that with rulers. Another example in the scriptures is the king of Tyre. He had to be reminded that he was a man and not God in Ezekiel chapter 28. "Son of man, say to the leader of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you have said, I am a god and I sit in the seat of gods in the heart of the sea, yet you are a man and not God, although you have made your heart like the heart of God." And then skipping down to verse 9, it says, "Will you still say, I am a god in the presence of your slayer, though you are a man and not God in the hands of those who wound you?" Even the most powerful civil rulers are just men, and we should not treat them as if they were gods. Number two, we need to recognize their role as God's ministers. And we've talked about this several times on the podcast, so we won't spend much time on it now. But Paul addressed this in Romans chapter 13 and described rulers as God's ministers who have been given the responsibility to punish evildoers and to protect the innocent. He said, "For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil." And then third, we need to recognize that their power is temporary. Not only is the rule of each individual leader limited because they are just mortal men, Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, "It is appointed for men once to die." That's true for us, that's true for our leaders as well. But also the government body or the nation that that ruler leads will not be around forever. The wise man said, "For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations." That passage emphasized the need for personal responsibility and diligence because of economic and political uncertainties. And if you want to read more about that, I wrote an article on that passage called "Know Well the Condition of Your Flocks." I'll link to that in the show notes if you want to check that out. But then finally, recognize that civil leaders are under Christ in authority. That means that, as Peter said, we must obey God rather than men. But it also means that these leaders will be held accountable by the Lord for how they have carried out His will as His ministers. Paul said in Romans 13:1, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. God is the one ultimately with all authority, and every person, including the leaders, are to be in subjection to him. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, that he has all authority. He is above all rule and power. Paul wrote about that in Ephesians 1, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. Those in positions of authority will be judged according to how they have carried out the Lord's will. And another point to consider is that we should not rush to judgment or make unfair or inaccurate charges. The wise man said, "The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him." Being outraged by something that you see on social media does not make you right. What you see online is often inaccurate or only partially true. Therefore, as Christians, we should not rush to judgment based on what we see on social media. Instead, we need to be sober-minded and level-headed and careful with our reactions. And we talked about this in a recent episode that I'll have linked in the show notes called Rushing to Judgment on Social Media. We talked about that in more detail in that episode if you want to listen to that. So in the case of the story that we're talking about, what is the reality of the situation? Well, this statue that has caused all of the outrage is a statue that depicts President Trump and is on one of his golf courses. It is not on public land. It was not government funded. And there were no calls for anyone to bow down and worship it. Is this a case of the president's supporters foolishly inflating his ego? Sure, you can make the case that that's what it was. But that's not idolatry. If someone wants to point out the foolishness, the waste, or the pride in this, that's fine. There's a point to be made on that. But to sensationalize this by calling it idolatry in the same vein as the golden calf or the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar is dishonest. But for a moment, let's assume the worst, that this image, this statue, was meant to deify the president and people were to bow down and worship this image. What if that was the case? Well, as Christians, we should just refuse to bow down and worship this. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did when Nebuchadnezzar set up that golden image and ordered all people to fall down and worship it. It was reported to Nebuchadnezzar that there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the provinces of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up. So the king got mad. He threw them into a fiery furnace, but they would not worship this false god. And the true God saved them. But also, if we assume the worst, we can still recognize that God's will can be carried out by someone who is falsely described as a god. Nebuchadnezzar, the one who made that false god, made that golden image of himself for people to worship, he was called the servant of God. And the one who called him that was God himself. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, declares the Lord, and I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them and make them a horror and a hissing and an everlasting desolation. Civil leaders who carry out the will of God are his servants, whether they acknowledge him or not. But also, if we assume the worst about this, what we need to do is keep teaching the same thing about how we should view political leaders, the same thing that we talked about earlier, even though I don't believe that this is a case of idolatry. Even if it was a case of idolatry, we teach the same thing, that these leaders are mere men, that they have a certain role that God has given them as his ministers, that their power is temporary, and that they are under Christ in authority. That doesn't change regardless of how we view this situation and what happened with this statue that was set up. And then finally, even if we assume the worst, we should still continue praying for the president and for all of our leaders. That's what Paul said needed to be done when he wrote to Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Pray that President Trump and all who are in positions of authority would rule in such a way that would allow us the freedom to serve God unhindered. And pray that they would work to maintain or to build conditions of peace, security, and economic prosperity so that we can continue to carry out our God-given responsibilities in the best way possible. So in summary, we might all agree that a golden statue of the president is silly or wasteful or unnecessary. But to call it idolatry, like the golden calf or the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, is, to put it charitably, a stretch. We should recognize the place of civil rulers in God's plan and pray for them that they would carry out their God-given responsibilities. We should also recognize that Christ has all authority and, therefore, we should submit to His will in everything that we do. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be interesting and helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, some of them that were mentioned throughout the episode, you can find those at the show notes at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/051426. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or to share it with others, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, that will be available on Substack. The link will be in the show notes. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.